President Bush has left Britain after a four-day state visit. During the trip, the president got the royal treatment from Queen Elizabeth, and with Prime Minister Tony Blair, he reaffirmed the determination of both countries to battle terrorism. All this against the backdrop of street protests in London, suicide bombings in Istanbul, and continuing guerrilla attacks in Iraq. Mr. Bush and First Lady Laura Bush spent much of today as guests of Tony Blair in Sedgefield in northeastern England. Mr. Blair was raised in that part of the country, and it's the region that he has long represented in Parliament. BBC reporter John Devitt sent this dispatch.
The tiny northern English town of Sedgefield has played host to high-profile visitors before. Mr. Blair likes to bring his international guests here for a taste of life outside the south of England and away from London. He normally expects them to have a taste of the local beer as well at the Duncow pub in the town centre. The police, who have a strong presence here, sealed off the area around the pub. A crowd of protesters gathered outside the police barriers, outnumbering another, quieter crowd of Mr. Bush's supporters on the opposite side of the road.
That's the BBC's John Devitt reporting from Sedgefield, England. Beyond the protests and beyond the protocol, though, is the larger question of what President Bush or Tony Blair actually achieved with this visit. And for some analysis, we turn now to James Harding, who is the White House correspondent for the Financial Times, but he is speaking to us from London. James Harding, can President Bush claim to actually have achieved anything on this visit to Britain?
I don't think so. I think, if anything, it's been rather detrimental, at least in the public eye. The agenda was not made by Tony Blair and George Bush on this trip, of course, but by the bombers in Istanbul, and that played so clearly to the worst fears of the British, which is that by Mr. Blair's cozying up to President Bush, Britons everywhere have become more vulnerable to terrorist attacks. Clearly what Mr. Bush has done is shown here his steadfastness, has made his case publicly and directly to the British people, and I think it's important that he's also seen that there is a high level of support here for his policy, much greater perhaps than the previews of huge protests would have suggested. But overall, I don't think he can walk away and say it's been a great success. I think that this is a country that has been jarred and greatly frightened by what they've seen in Turkey in the last few days, and the sense that British targets are now in the eyes of Al-Qaeda terrorists.
Help us see this trip from a British perspective. It was said before the president's visit that Prime Minister Blair, who has been a stalwart ally of the U.S. On Iraq and other matters, certainly could have used some help on trade, could have used some help on British subjects who are being held at Guantanamo, perhaps some help on other issues. Did he get anything in return from President Bush?
Well, I think it's a mixed picture there. Obviously, the key issues, the dominant issues, are the war on terrorism ones. But there were a few others, as you mentioned. On steel, this is an issue that's in the mind of the president. Will he ease the tariffs? Will he lift the tariffs as the British and Europeans want? Mr. Bush played his cards very close to his chest. On Guantanamo, there was some progress. The White House has insisted that nothing has changed, but what Mr. Bush has done is said this will be sorted out in a way that is satisfactory to the British. Either we will change the military tribunals under which Guantanamo detainees are tried, or you can repatriate the British detainees in Guantanamo and try them at home. So that's been good. The one really big question that no one has really got hold of is, what is Mr. Bush's view, what is the White House view of Britain's role in Europe? Because the interesting thing is that on Monday, Tony Blair hosts Jacques Chirac. He bade farewell to George Bush today, and on Monday he's got to re-engage with Europe. And will the White House, will Mr. Bush, allow Britain to be heavily involved in the development of a new European defence structure? That's a key question for Mr. Blair, and one that we have no idea what happened in those hours that they spent talking.
You know, we're approaching the anniversary here of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy some 40 years ago, who is remembered perhaps as much for anything as going to Berlin and declaring, along with the Berliners, "I'm one of you, ich bin ein Berliner," a very famous presidential trip. The images we see from this presidential trip, a reporter asking the President of the United States, "Why do you think so many free citizens fear and hate you?" I mean, are Americans indeed this far apart from the British in political terms nowadays, or are those images exaggerated?
I think that the images are exaggerated in the sense that they are not representative of the vast majority of the British public. What is true, though, is that a president who had the enormous sympathy of the British people in the days, weeks, even months after September the 11th has clearly become an object of fear and in some quarters even hatred in the UK. And that is a very powerful and unusual feeling for the leader of a country who is clearly an ally and who leads a country which is such good friends with the UK. So I think it's distorting in terms of how many people are represented by those feelings, but it is no distortion in terms of the depth of that feeling.
James Harding, White House correspondent for the Financial Times newspaper, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.